Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:25 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 10th. I thought this chart of the EU's carbon credits was particularly interesting because it's a state-sponsored bull market. You had the German energy minister coming out today and saying that Germany is going to curtail the issuing of these carbon credits. That could potentially cost them upwards of 5 billion euro over the course of the next 5 or 6 years. So that probably inhibits their ability to limit the supply. But it was the statements from the energy minister which said that the price is going up, and that's exactly what we want. We want the price to be high. This is one of the clearest examples of a state-sponsored bull market that one might have. But it also helps to highlight just how divorced from reality, or the reality of trying to manage a business and manage costs and margins, that socialists tend to be. And that is one of the things that is obviously going to come back and have an issue for the German economy. The German economy has been very close to contracting. It's not as if they don't have external pressures. The DAX index, however, has been reasonably positive since the beginning of this year, but it was in negative territory today. Part of the reason for that was because of the strength of the euro. But of course, it's not really the strength of the euro, but more like the weakness of the dollar. When we look at what, in fact, was the main news item in here today, it was Jay Powell basically saying that the US economy doesn't really need an interest rate cut, but that the global economy probably does. And when we look at, for example, this graphic in here, we can see that consumers still have a lot of confidence in the economy. When you have people that are quitting their jobs voluntarily at a rate that really hasn't been seen since 1999, that tells us that people are reasonably confident in the health of the economy. It's not usually until that confidence starts to deteriorate that the Federal Reserve does in fact cut interest rates. Well, they're going to cut interest rates now anyway. This is an insurance cut. But more importantly than that, it is, I think there are two big points. Are that first, the Federal Reserve spent the last decade talking about being data dependent, and now they are no longer data dependent, they are anticipating the data. Well, in the game of predicting the future, you run the risk of being both right or indeed wrong, and one has to tailor one's strategy to at least accept the potential that one is wrong. That's rather difficult for central bankers to do. They don't exactly get stops. They don't get to buy options. So by anticipating the news flow, by anticipating the fundamentals that they say that they're dependent on, well, they are going to open themselves up to a completely fresh realm of unintended consequences. They may forestall the recession, but of course, by doing that, they are going to exaggerate the potential for a bubble to form. And we're starting to see that indices are breaking on the upside. The S&P 500, for the first time, close, or it didn't close, but it pierced the 3,000-point level. There is some consolidation underway. There is a short-term overbought condition, so it wouldn't be at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get some consolidation in the region of this peak. But as long as the index is trading above the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The Nasdaq 100 also pushed on to a new high in here today. Again, this is coming up towards another big psychological level at 8,000, having bounced from 7,000 and 6,000. So we also know that the index has a record of both pausing at round numbers and finding support at round numbers. And we're only 107 points away from the next big round number, so it's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get a pause. But the bigger picture is that an increasingly large number of big companies are breaking on the upside. And Amazon in here today has cleared the $2,000 level. That was the point at which it had pulled back from at the latter portion of last year. Amazon has been the buy the dip share in this cycle. If we simply look at it on a logarithmic scale, the size of the pullback in the latter portion of last year was larger than the pullbacks we've seen previously. 30% pullbacks have been big buying opportunities for Amazon over the course of this bull market. And the reaction that we saw in the latter portion of last year was about 35%. The reason people have been buying the dip or have been conditioned to buy the dip in Amazon is because when it does break out, it generally rallies by about $500. So people bought the dip in anticipation of the next breakout taking it up to $2,500. That would be consistent with what we would anticipate from the bull market based on what it has done previously. And it's going to have to deliver upon that expectation if people are going to continue to support the share. But most particularly, the buy the dip strategy will have to fail in order for it to really confirm that the one of the most iconic shares in this bull market has in fact peaked. There is the clear risk that by supporting the global economy in cutting interest rates and deliberately targeting the value of the dollar, that the Federal Reserve is fomenting the risk of a bubble forming. That, I think, has to be the base case at this stage. We are at a point where valuations are either very rich or on the rich side of reasonable. And if we do get margin expansion, or excuse me, valuation expansion, well, then that would be the hallmark of bubbly activity. So that certainly has to be one of the potential outcomes. Now, the dollar in here today has confirmed a sequence of lower rally highs since the peak back in May. It was a touch and go yesterday whether this was going to be an area of resistance. We've certainly seen it now. Now the much bigger question is whether the point around 96 holds. And that is a big question. We have a lower high, and we did have the lower lows. We did have a very impressive rebound from the region of the trend mean, but the Federal Reserve is slowly but surely removing supports from the dollar. By cutting interest rates, it's narrowing the interest rate differential. By ending its quantitative tightening program in September, then it is going to at least stop reducing the quantity of dollars in circulation, and that is also stimulative. So these are important points. These are the kinds of things that can really help to reignite liquidity in the global economy, and certainly help to stoke investor interest in the domestic U.S. economy. Well, then when we think about how this is affecting the government bond markets, well, there has been a pause around this 2% level, and we've had a modest advance in the yield over the course of the last four sessions. But it was well off its highs in here today, and this so far has been a very modest rally in terms of the yield. There is still a wide overbought condition on the price, and the size of the pullback so far has been limited to approximately a point, maybe a point and a quarter. Generally speaking, the reactions in the course of this uptrend since the lows in October have been in the order of about 2.5 points. So this reaction to date has been roughly about half the size of the previous reactions, and there is a wide overextension relative to the trend mean. So the best thing that could happen was would be that it just goes sideways for a while. The length of time it has ranged has generally been in the order of about 3 months, and it's been ranging now for about 4 weeks, so there is scope here for a little consolidation. But Investors have pretty much concluded that we're at the top of the interest rate cycle, and that in cutting once, that the Federal Reserve will not be raising rates anytime soon, that they have already priced in that there will be two additional cuts this year. Well, we're in July, so if we're going to get additional interest rate cuts, we're potentially looking at September and December. But that is by no means locked in. The reality is that with the potential for a clear bubble risk evolving in the USA, that the Federal Reserve may eventually have to start tightening interest rates again. That would, if, I think, perhaps prick the bubble. And then we would have a lot of the things that people are truly worried about coming back into focus. I think it is not so much about the issues that the bears have been raising being wrong, but rather that their timing hasn't been particularly effective. When we do think about what it is that is the outstanding problems out there, well, the kind of malinvestment or misallocation of capital has been particularly egregious in the private equity sector. And when we think about the massive availability of liquidity, the very low interest rates that have made it possible to run extraordinary losses and still be able to capture investment interest, particularly in these private companies, well, that would not have been possible without extraordinary monetary policy. The transition, for example, from a reasonably high margin software-driven company like Zillow into a highly capital-intensive, low-margin business like flipping houses, regardless of whether that is boosted by artificial intelligence or not, this is a highly risky endeavor. Of course, it's going to work as long as we have very low interest rates, as long as we have abundant liquidity, as long as we're still in a bubbly environment where consumer confidence continues to trend higher, then this is the kind of strategy that will work. It will look inspired in terms of their earnings, but that does not obviate the risk. It certainly, in fact, it would probably only exacerbate the risk in considering that with some success, all they will do is leverage their business even further. They'll buy even more houses. They will expand into more demographics. They'll look at different regions. They'll buy more expensive houses. And of course, when you do then eventually get interest rates rising, or you start to see that bubbly activity is starting to moderate, you're left with a massive inventory of houses that can't be sold, and when they can be sold, it'll be substantially below where they were bought at. That's when companies like this go bust, but perhaps not before there's a bubble. And I think that is very much the kind of situation that we're in right now. There are obviously risks out there, but there are also opportunities because when you do start to see additional rounds of liquidity coming through, then you do get the misallocation of capital. You do get people taking very large risks, and for a while, they even seem to pay off. I think that is perhaps the most important point right now, that if we are getting breakouts and they are being sustained, then we can anticipate that we're going to get another leg higher in this bull market, and that valuations will expand right along with that expansion. Then when we think about what's happening in the oil price, well, we had some inventory data coming through today, and it was modest in terms of expansion. Now we had, in fact, a contraction. Oil prices were up by $2. That has now confirmed support around the $60 area. It is now coming back to test the region of the trend mean. If it can bounce from here, well, then that will be a higher reaction low within the context of a broad-ranging environment. So that would hold out the scope for an additional rally. The higher oil prices go, the more pressure that would put on the global economy. We're nowhere near an acceleration in energy prices, and it would be hard to really think about what the rationale would be for that unless we see a very significant acceleration in global demand growth. Meanwhile, gold is responding to the weaker dollar and to the fact that we're at a point in the cycle where there is some clear evidence of a competitive devaluation environment. The USA is trying to devalue the dollar in order to aid the global economy, but Japan and Europe and China do not want strong currencies, particularly relative to the dollar. Well, gold prices were up by almost $20 in here today, confirming support to the lower side of this evolving range. I've been saying now for the last few weeks that the most important thing that gold can do is hold the breakout. If it can continue to hold above the $1,350 area, that will lend further credence to the new bull market environment. The simple fact of the matter is that gold cannot be printed into existence. That if we are in, and I think we are in, a competitive devaluation environment for fiat currencies, where there is going to be an additional appetite among investors for, or I guess among central banks to be more accurate, for printing money, then gold takes on safe haven characteristics. And that is also true of the gold miners. It is in this part of the cycle that they do tend to do better. When we think about the gold shares, they offer the potential to outperform the gold price in the early part of the cycle. It isn't generally until gold miners start to really spend on greenfield sites and buying up prospective properties that they start to really damage their cash flow and their balance sheets. Well, that's when investors start to walk away. There is the potential that they are going to be more disciplined for longer on this occasion, for the simple reason that a lot of the management teams have had such a visceral experience during the bear market that they'll be a little leery about taking on leverage so early. So that does hold out the prospect for gold shares to outperform, and they do have the additional merit of being one of the few asset classes that are in fact cheap and nowhere close to their bubble peaks. So that does hold out the prospect of a recovery scenario. I think it's also worth highlighting that when we think about the Dow gold ratio, and if we just simply zoom in a little, that the reality here is that the stock market has outperformed gold on a very persistent basis over the course of the last 9 years. But the pace of that outperformance has certainly moderated over the course of the last year. And there is the potential that even within a secular bear market, or I guess, when rather than think about it in terms of bull and bear markets, a secular period where we would anticipate the Dow to continue to outperform, there are going to be significant periods within that where the performance is going to ebb and flow. Meanwhile, it does look like we're going to see the Dow Jones also complete its range and break on the upside. And this has been a really well-defined range with a very clear failed downside break in December. If it can sustain a move above 27,000, well, then that would be additional confirmation that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. The underperformance of the transportation index, however, it is something that needs to be highlighted. When we look at the transports and the Russell 2000, then we have got relatively similar patterns and patterns of underperformance at that. Then there is the additional fact that banks are not doing particularly well, that in fact there is a sequence of lower rally highs over the course of the last year and a half. One point that I think it brings us full circle to look back at the private equity sector. Banks have been largely inhibited in their liquidity provision function during this cycle because of the overhang of regulation. More than half of all mortgages written in the USA today are written by non-bank lenders. that it is the private equity sector has been the provider of liquidity to highly speculative ventures. And that has inhibited the banks from their normal activities. Then you have very low interest rates or negative yields on government bonds in Europe, and that has also been a headwind for the banking sector. But it also highlights the fact that the banks are not leveraged in the same way in this cycle as they were previously. All of that leverage that would be anticipated to be in the banking sector, particularly in the USA, is now concentrated in the private equity sector. And therefore, it is the health of the private equity sector and their ability to continue to source funding is going to be one of the clearest arbiters, because this is really more about shadow banking than normal banking. Well, those shadow banks are still doing reasonably well, and as long as we're getting lower interest rates and continued abundant liquidity, then that is likely to be beneficial. It is, though, worth keeping a very close eye on not just the outperformers, but also the underperformers. If banks start to break lower, if the Russell 2000 breaks lower, and if the transportation index breaks lower, well, then that is more of an indicator that we're getting narrowing breath in terms of this bull market, and then we can also start to think about what the clear contradictions are in this market. Well, we know that the one of the biggest contradictions is that anyone could hope to make money when yields are negative. Then, of course, there is the additional contradiction in this market that companies can run losses indefinitely and still hope to prosper. Well, we saw something similar to that in the 1990s, and we know how it ended. But it didn't end until interest rates had started to go back up again. And I think it is perhaps the best parallel for what we have right now to look not just at the federal funds rate over the course of the last 20 years, but to think more about what it did in the 1990s. Because we had a significant run-up in the Fed funds rate after 1993, and then the rate came down a bit and went sideways to down until approximately 1999. It wasn't until the Federal Reserve really started to jack up rates again that it popped the bubble. Well, potentially we're going to be in a 95 to 96 or even a 97 to 98 period in here now, and that the bursting of the bubble happens later. This is something that we have to at least pay some consideration to when we see that the major indices are pushing on the upside. Of course, all of that is contingent on them sustaining those upward breaks. That, of course, is the number one priority in terms of the markets right now. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.